We're going to continue our theme this morning. We've been talking about all of the wonderful advantages that we have of living here in this United States of America. And the theme of our lesson is living in America and maintaining our spiritual commitment. And an awful lot of times, because we are so bountifully blessed, I fear sometimes we forget to count our blessings. And I want to thank Maury for leading those two songs. We are so blessed sometimes that I wonder what God thinks about our being so blessed and our gratitude toward Him for it. And we need to be grateful to God. Every day on the calendar of a Christian ought to be Thanksgiving. Every single day. And we look at our Bibles, and the Bible teaches us by direct command to be thankful. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, we read there, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20. In Colossians 2 and verse 7, abounding with thanksgiving. Now, we've got to do the will of God. If we're going to go to heaven, we've got to do the will of God. And it is the will of God that we be thankful. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks. So by direct command, we are commanded to be thankful. But also by example. Jesus was thankful. We read about it in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, where He prays to the Father and He says, I thank Thee, O Father, God of heaven, that You have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and You have revealed them unto babes. We look at David in 1 Chronicles, and I want you to look there with me in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, because I want you to see how truly thankful David is. And I want to read, we'll begin along about verse 7. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hands of Asaph his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and has confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, I will give the land of Canaan the lot of your inheritance. When ye were but few, even a few and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, watch this, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all of the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. You can read on there through verse 37 about the praise and the thankfulness and the gratefulness that David truly is, and he wants to get this point across about this psalm and with this psalm. We look at Daniel. Daniel was thankful. We look at Paul the Apostle in Acts chapter 27 and verse 35. He gave thanks unto God in the presence of them all. Even the angels in heaven are thankful and grateful to God, and we read about it in Revelation chapter 7 verses 11 and 12. And friends, we ought to be sincerely concerned about our gratefulness to God. How grateful are we? You know why we need to be concerned about that? Because the ungrateful don't go to heaven. You ever think about that? The ungrateful will not go to heaven. You can read it in Romans chapter 1. Neither were they grateful when he gave them up. Neither were they grateful. And so this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to look at a few points that can help us to develop an attitude toward our gratitude to God. It's something that needs to be developed, just like we develop it in our children, and we'll get into that in just a moment. I want you to look at the 103rd Psalm. The 103rd Psalm, and as simple as this sounds, I want you to consider this. In the 103rd Psalm, he says there, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." We need to remember, not to forget. Now, I've been around Michael and Carrie for a good little while now, and Michael's biggest deal with Carrie is for her to remind him not to forget. The biggest, remember not to forget. You know, forgetfulness is an enemy of gratitude. Think about it. When you forget it, it automatically becomes an enemy of gratitude. And when we look at Joseph, all the way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 40, you remember he got thrown into prison, no fault of his own. He befriended the butler, and right before the butler was released, he says, "Don't forget me when you get out there." What happened? He forgot him. All the gratefulness that he should have had for him, he just forgot it. When Jesus, in Luke chapter 7, when he healed the 10 lepers, everybody forgot to be thankful except one. Only one remembered to be thankful. And so, remember not to forget. It has been said, "Blessed are those who give without remembering, and blessed are those who receive without forgetting." So remember not to forget. Another thing we need to do is not major on our troubles. You know, when you ask somebody, "How you doing?" the last thing you want to hear, "My toe hurts, my finger hurts, my knee hurts, my stomach is upset, I got the headache, and I really don't feel..." You didn't ask them for that. You know, what we do is we have a tendency to count our bruises instead of counting our blessing. What would be wrong when somebody asks us and says, "How are you doing?" Let's just think about the good things every now and then. How good are you? "Well, I'm pretty good. I'm up. I'm walking. I'm here." And so we have a tendency to focus on the negative and not be grateful for the wonderful things that we have. If you will remember, and if you will notice, when you ask people about when a certain thing happened, they have a tendency to set a date based upon a tragedy. "When did that happen?" "Oh, that happened over there in the great tornado." "Well, when did that take place? Can you remember when that..." "Oh, yeah, that happened about the time that the big train wreck came across here in Bangs, Texas." Friends, if we're not careful, God has put us here in one of the most glorious places on the face of this earth. We're in a virtual rose garden here, and if we're not careful, we'll go through the rose garden of life and we'll come out on the other side with a handful of thorns, and that's all we're going to have because we major on our troubles. Now, friends, we sang a song just a moment ago. "A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord." I asked him to lead that on purpose. That song was written by Fanny Crosby, a lady that was sick from infancy. And I hope you read the third verse, because with all of her troubles, she could write lines like this. She says, one of the lines, "With numberless blessings each moment he crowns." Blind from birth. With numberless blessings. Can't count them all. Each day he crowns. And yet I'm blind every day. And she could see through that. As a matter of fact, we ought to thank God for our troubles and our inconveniences. You know, I don't like to talk much about myself, but most of you know I've got a minor inconvenience. And it's probably one of the greatest blessings I ever received from God, because it caused me to refocus. I am the most fortunate person that I know on the face of this earth. When I was first diagnosed with cancer, they gave me 18 months to live. That's 4 years ago. But for 45 days, that's all I knew, that I was going to die in a year and a half. And I'm trying to think, what can I possibly do? How can I get the rest of my life packed into 18 months? And I started thinking, you know what I've got to do? I've got to preach every time I got an opportunity. I've got to read my Bible every time I've got the opportunity. I've got to spend time with my wife and spend time with my kids and spend time with my grandchildren. I want to get all of that done in the next 18 months. And 45 days go by and I'm already counting down 16 months. And then they called me up and they said, David, you don't have it as bad as we thought you did. You've got cancer, but it's not nearly as aggressive as we thought it was. But I know what it feels like to look it in the face. And it caused me to reprioritize. And I thank God every day that He woke me up. Because I had been neglecting my family. And I had been neglecting times and opportunities to preach where I shouldn't be neglecting these things. And there's one more thing that happened. I had to take a little treatment about 6 months ago. And I was having to drive to Houston. And I was driving and I was going to go and take the treatment, turn around, come back the same day. Because I didn't want to be away from my duties there at Stephenville. So I was going to get Joy to do it. And my sister didn't have a job at that particular time. And she said, I'll do it. And do you know, we were cooped up in a vehicle for 10 hours a day driving there. We'd leave at 1:30 in the morning, go down there and take the treatment, get back about 11 o'clock that night. And I reestablished a relationship with my sister that I had lost for 20 years. And it was a blessing to me. Friends, you ought to thank God for your blessings. And thank God for your inconveniences and your problems. And we need to look at God's Word and we need to really focus and believe in His promises. Promises like Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, which says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. You think, how in the world can anything good come out of something like that? You wait. God will bless you. And He'll show you if you'll just trust. Trust in God. Another thing that we need to do is to remember in this great and marvelous country, the United States of America, how much better off we are than others. Do you know what would happen to you if you were to be reduced to the level, the socioeconomic level of some other people on the face of this earth? You could still be a Christian. But you might not like it near as well. Do you know what the average yearly income of people that live in Cambodia is? $1,820 a year. That's $35 a week. Go to Walmart on that. In India, the average yearly income for the family is $1,070 a year. That's $20.57 a week. In Mozambique, I didn't even know where Mozambique was till Horace took me out to South Africa. Mozambique is separated from South Africa by the Kruger National Park. Do you know what people in Mozambique do? They crawl over that great big old fence there and they travel on foot through that lion-infested park to get over to South Africa. I met some of those people from Mozambique. They were the most happy people that you ever saw in your life. You know what the average yearly income of people in Mozambique? $370 a year. That is $7.11 a week. What if we were reduced to that? Could we count our blessings? But we're not reduced to that. We are blessed beyond measure here. And we need to remember how much better off that we are than most people. We ought to also count the blessings that we do have instead of concentrating on what we do not have. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, the Holy Spirit through Paul says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now, that takes care of the internal needs, and it takes care also of the external needs. Those are blessings. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. And yet we often fail to remember the great blessings that we have. We sang that song just a moment ago. Count your many blessings. How many of us actually do what we sing? How many of us do that? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus." All spiritual blessings. Have you ever tried to count your spiritual blessings? I mean, really, just count them. And I would even suggest to you that one day, when you got just a little bit of time on your hands, get you a place of quiet rest and just sit down for a minute and try to count your physical blessings. And what you'll find is you can't do it. They are innumerable. And yet, are we grateful? Are we grateful as we ought to be? Another thing that we need to do is to express our gratitude to God. I want you to look at the 107th Psalm, verses 1 and 2. You see, we need to express our gratitude verbally. Verbally. And I want you to notice there, in the 107th Psalm, the psalmist tells us this. Verse 1. "Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God knows we're thankful, but He still wants to hear it. He still wants to hear it. You know, when, and perhaps you as parents have experienced something similar. Mike hasn't yet. Carrie hasn't yet. And I hope they don't experience this particular thing, but something similar is liable to come around. When our oldest daughter graduated from high school, she had numerous scholarships offered to her to play different sports at different places. And my wife and I we sat her down and we said, "Okay, what are you going to select? Where are you going to pick?" And she says, "I don't really care which school I go to. I just want to get as far away from here as I can get." I don't really believe she knew what a dagger she stuck in our heart. And we went to bed that night, and we were talking to one another. What have we done? We have raised this girl, and we gave her all the tender, loving care that we can for 18 years, and she wants to get as far away from us as she can. And she did. Went all the way over there to Louisiana, to West Monroe, Louisiana, other side of the Jordan, for crying out loud. And when she got over there and she got introduced to the rest of the world, and when she started teaching in their public schools as a helping teacher, she wrote us one of the most beautiful letters that you ever read in your life. "Thank you for telling me no. Thank you for teaching me to say yes, sir. And no, sir. And yes, ma'am. And no." And she just went on and on. And boy, when we read that letter, oh, were we happy. We wanted to know. We wanted to hear it. We knew she was thankful, but we wanted to hear it. But you know, a lot of times just saying thanks is not enough. A lot of times it's living the thanks. And the 116th Psalm, in verse number 12, the psalmist asked, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? What can I give back?" Friends, in our gratitude, we'll give God our love, we'll give Him our time, we'll give Him our talents, we'll give Him our money, and we will give Him our lives in our gratitude to Him. Now, another thing that we need to do is we do not need to take the commonplace things of life for granted. Many times we are thankless only because we are thoughtless. And in our thinking, it's easy to look at these ordinary blessings of every day, just let them go unappreciated and even unacknowledged. Let me give you an example. What would happen if tomorrow the sun didn't come up? We would be frantic about that. Get on the phone, call your friend. "There's no sun today. No sun. What are we going to do?" And yet, how about all of the times it has come up? Every single morning that you have been alive on the face of this earth, that sun has come up. How many times have we thanked God for that? It's something simple. It's something very ordinary. How many times do we take the everyday material blessings of our life, we just take them for granted? You got up this morning and you walked right by your refrigerator and never thought to think about it. You went over there and you grabbed coffee out of a coffee pot that made coffee while you were still asleep. Never thought a thing about it. You looked at your blender. You looked at your mixer. You looked at your oven. You looked at your cooktop. Never thought a thing about it. Turned on the water. Water came on in your house. Never thought a thing about it. Blessing, 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 blessing. You know, maybe we need to think back just a little bit. And I know I'm not as old as I need to be to remember this, but my grandmother was a little bit different. My grandmother never had water running in her house all the days of her life. Never had running water. Had a big cistern out there, caught rainwater off the roof, and then she'd take a bucket out there and draw water out of there and a dipper on the bucket, and when you went out to her house, if you wanted a drink, you dip the dipper out of the bucket. She told me one time, she says, "You know, I've thought about getting one of those indoor toilets, but just as sure as I got one, it wouldn't slush." She was a little bit country. Come washing day, you remember those old big old pots? Everybody puts flowers in them now, those big old cast iron pots. Come washing day, she'd have to build a fire in her backyard. She always built it where the fire wouldn't get in her eyes. And then she put water in there and then take one of those bars of soap and carve it in there and get that water to boil and have two more tubs. Fill them up with rainwater too. And one tub would be kind of warm and then there'd be a cold water tub over here. And she'd take a stick. It was, well, it kind of like a paddle. And she'd stir those clothes up in there. But before that, you see, she'd have to separate them out. There'd be a pile of white clothes, and there'd be a pile of colored clothes, and then there'd be overalls and dirty rags. And she would wash them in that order. And then she'd stir them around in one pot and dip them out and put them over in another pot. And she'd stir them around in there, get the soap out of them, and put them over there in the rinse pot. And she'd stir them around, wring them out by hand. And if there happened to be a big stain on one, she had to scrub it on the rub board. When she got through with wringing them out on their hands, she hung the white clothes on the clothesline, and then everything else got hung on the fence. When she got through, she'd take the pot of soapy water, and she would wash the porch off with it. Take the rainwater out of the other two buckets and water the flower bed. And when she got through, she'd sit in her rocking chair on the porch and count her many blessings. Friends, perhaps just a step back from where we are would remind us to remember about all of those many blessings. I want you to look at Luke chapter 12, because we are actually even given a warning here about avoiding the overemphasis of the luxuries of the life that we have been afforded. In Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15, Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses." We need to be thankful for the simple necessities of life. And we need to be thankful for and put our emphasis on the spiritual blessings with which we are blessed every single day. And then another thing that will help us. Just stop complaining. Just stop complaining. That's all. You know, I believe, and Michael and I talk about this a lot. We talk about it so much we're scared to say anything anymore. Preachers are the worst in the world about complaining. "Well, I got a hurt foot. I can't preach." Well, that's a long ways from your mouth. These people, they can't stand it. They overeat. They get to where they can't get up off of the bed, and they're sick all the time, and "Oh, I feel bad. I won't be able to preach. I just can't do it." Preachers are horrible about complaining. They remind me a little bit of the Israelites. You know, Moses went in there, got those Israelites out of that bondage and brought them out, and immediately they started complaining. They started complaining about what they had, and then they started complaining about what they didn't have. And they just murmured and complained. And even all the way over in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, it tells us about the murmurers and the complainers there. And friends, we do not need to get into that kind of spirit. Instead, we need to be looking to examples like Paul the Apostle, imprisoned, chained, and yet he could write things like to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He could write things to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 where he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know, over at Stephenville, over at Hillcrest, I was privileged to know a lady this lady was phenomenal. When I first got there, she was on a walker, and she graduated to a wheelchair. And for the time I've been there nearly 5 years. I'll be there 5 years in September. For all of that time, she never one time complained and never missed a service unless she was in the hospital. I have seen that lady come out of the hospital on Saturday, be at services on Sunday morning, never ever complaining, always smiling. She was the one that brightened up the crowd. The last thing, she got so bad that they had to call hospice and she had them put her a hospital bed in her living room. She said, I don't want to miss a visitor. And the day she died, she had her daughter sit her up in a chair. And she was sitting in a rocking chair. And she was telling her daughter, Kay, she said, Kay, I need you to do something for me tomorrow. I need you to go to Walmart, and I need you to buy me a bunch of thank you cards. I need to send these thank you cards out for everybody that came to see me. And before she got through with the thought, she closed her eyes and died right there. Never, never did she ever complain. And the last thought that we need to do so that we can develop an attitude of gratitude toward God is this. We need to never, ever forget the giver of the gift. James chapter 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights. Every blessing, every gift that we have, it comes right straight from the throne of God. Now, Paul, the apostle, was aware of this. And when he wrote to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, he says, it is by the grace of God that I am what I am. By the grace of God that we are who we are. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12, he didn't get a hold of that. Now, I'm not going to go into that too much because he's going to be one of my topics tonight. But you remember, he accumulated many, many, many things. So many things that he couldn't even store them all. And then he said to himself, I'll fix it. And then I'll say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Friends, if we're not careful, what he's saying there, I got my retirement, I got my check, I'm going to kick back and take it easy. He failed to realize from whence the blessings came. God said, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you, and then who shall those things be which you have acquired? And so is he that lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. What is it that we do to be rich toward God? We can't give him anything. Everything's his. We're just stewards of it all. Friends, the only thing that we can give him is our gratitude. Through our life, through our speech, our gratitude. And he wants it. He wants to hear it, and he wants to see it in our lives. You see, we must never, ever forget the giver of the gift. And this must be a real hard thing for human beings. Because even from an early age, you remember when your mother taught you, and now you taught your children, and I'll venture to say that Carrie and Michael constantly tell their kids, when we go to that birthday party and all of your friends come and give you all of those presents, do not forget to tell them thank you for that present. Every time we got to remind them. And we grow up and we get out of the house and we have no parent to remind us. And what do? Do we think more of the gift than we do the giver? You see, God expects us to grow up here. He expects us to get past that idea of, what are you going to do for me today, God? What are you going to do for me today? Remember the giver and put more emphasis on the remembrance of the giver than the gift itself. And we will develop the attitude of gratitude that God wants from each and every one of us. Remember this. The greatest gift that He ever gave was the blessing of His Son. The blessing of His Son. The giver and the gift. And it is through the gift that we have an opportunity to live in heaven. Only because of the giver and the gift that He gave us. Don't ever, ever forget that one. And if you're here this morning and you need help in any of these areas, Michael, the elders, there are plenty of people here to help. You just want to talk about it. We'll all talk about it. But it is so important, and we never, ever need to forget this. Ungrateful people are not going to be in heaven. So we need to work on our attitude of gratitude toward God. Thank you. Appreciate your attention.